Welcome to Mastering the Drop, a real view of recovery with me, your host, Master Addiction Specialist, Tricia Perito. You are in the right place if you have battled any chemical addiction, struggle with your relationship with food, consistently shop impulsively, are a chronic people pleaser, can't survive without your morning visit to the gym, or any other habit that is holding you hostage. Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to Mastering the Drop, a real view of recovery, where myself and my guests talk about all different aspects of a life recovery journey. This week, I have to say, I feel especially grateful. And as you can all see, just even with the peaceful background, I have a very dear friend of mine, Roberta, here with me from Peaceful Living. And it's just such a gift that she is here. And we've been spending quite a bit of time together lately and with the team and everything. And she just has so many gifts to give. But I really love how everything that she teaches and brings to her practice, how it actually supports a lot of the cognitive and emotional work that we do at Turning Leaves, because her approach is also, you know, with that thought process of helping you nurture your own self-awareness, of cultivating that emotional intelligence and you know, of course, the stress management that we all need, right? And I'm not quite about the fact that I love, you know, Pilates and meditation, and my, you know, my spirituality is, you know, very, very special to me. And I just love the work that she does, and the meditations are so healing. Anyway, I haven't even introduced her yet completely. Roberta Hughes is the founder of Peaceful Living, where, you know, she does customized classes. There's on demand, and you can do yoga, you can do Pilates, you can do meditation, and you can do it all, you know, in one sitting. And it's just such a wonderful approach, and just the site itself is so peaceful. And I just love the way that, you know, you've set up your practice, Roberta. So I'm going to let you like come in and say hello and introduce yourself before I start with all of the wonderful questions I want to ask you today.
Yes. So thank you, Tricia, for the introduction and for having me here on your show. We have been working on a few things together lately, and I recently had the opportunity to do a guided meditation for some of your coaches, and that was a true gift for the holidays. Not just for me, but I hope for them and for you as well. As coaches, you guys give so much to helping people on their recovery journey that it's important to nourish and nurture yourselves along the way and not to forget to do that. So it's been a joy to be part of that support team for you and your coaches, and to be here today to see what I can share to help your audience and your clients and the people who listen to your podcast for inspiration and hope and motivation on their recovery journey.
Thank you. It is. It's always so amazing to spend time with you. And I'll tell you, the feedback from our team meeting when you came was all about you and all of the gratitude for having you come in and spend some time with them. They all felt so just blessed and gifted when it was over. It was amazing. But you know, something that, you know, you and I haven't talked about, so I've been dying to ask you this, to know really what drove you or what brought you to this place that you're in, like the work that you do, because it's such a gift. You know, I'm always really interested to know like what drove you to be here, and then, you know, what what, you know, really cultivated that passion to, you know, take it even further and create this wonderful thing that you have.
Yeah. So I first became curious about yoga in college. I took my first yoga class as a one credit course in college. And prior to that, movement had always been a part of my life, but it was more from the place of gymnastics and cheerleading and the performance of movement rather than mindful movement and figuring out how movement affected your body, not on the, only on a physical level, but on an emotional and spiritual and mental level as well. And I really felt the transformation right away after I would finish a yoga class and walk out that door. I just felt different. I felt more at ease. I felt more at peace. I felt more focused and ready to go to my next class. And my friends could see it in me too. So that's really where the curiosity about yoga started. And after college, I got married and was moving around every 3 years because my ex-husband was in the Air Force. And I was able to study at Santa Barbara Yoga Center, which is pretty close to where you live.
Yeah.
That's where I did my 200-hour yoga teacher training. When I was 4 months pregnant with my second son, I drove up and down the coast from Vandenberg Air Force Base to Santa Barbara over the course of 2 years and completed that 200-hour training. And as I taught yoga, I could just see how it helped people find that place of peace. And mostly I taught for fitness centers at Air Force bases, and then for big box gyms when we no longer lived on the Air Force base. And over time, I kind of moved away from the yoga practice because I found that many people were looking more for movement as a way to achieve something. And that wasn't really how I taught yoga. And during that time, I was introduced to Pilates. And for me, Pilates was more of the thing that you could do to create movement patterns, to create changes in the physical body. And that felt better for me to teach in the fitness center environment. But fast forward to 2018, I started missing my yoga practice again and missing that as being a teacher. And I really wanted to bring it back into my teaching. I would kind of weave it in with some of my Pilates clients, but I ended up opening this tiny boutique yoga center within a Pilates studio. It was only big enough for 3 students at a time. So it was more of a semi-private experience. And it was designed to feel like a relaxation room at the spa. So it really was the place to come and restore and nourish yourself, not really to do something to yourself. And I opened the doors the October before COVID and had just started to see people in this little tiny studio and, you know, start to offer yoga again. And then, of course, we know what happened in March of 2020. So I had to close the door, and that's when I started all of my online and virtual content. And I'll kind of pause and let you ask a question because maybe you want to go in a different direction.
Well, I always have so much swimming through my head, right? Because, you know, even when you started talking about, you know, your physical fitness, right? Like that period of your life before, you know, when you got into yoga and it was gymnastics and it was this and it was that. And I relate to that in a lot of ways. And I know that I have a lot of clients that also relate to this in a lot of ways, because we've been taught, and let me tie in that last piece, right? Like, I found that everybody was wanting to, you know, use that form of movement to change something about themselves. And, and so, I mean, everything inside of me right now is screaming, loving your physical body, which is a program that I do, and it, you know, barely out there as accessible to everybody. I've done it for years, you know, private, intimate, because it's such an intimate thing. But we do, we seek physical activity as our release. We seek our physical activity as a way to stay physically fit. And, you know, young people, and this was me for a lot of years, you know, we, our body image is so tied to this, right? And I'm trying not to go into this whole body image segment because it's not what we're here to talk about today. But body image is such a critical thing. It's such a critical piece because it's so based in that outer thing that we see in the mirror and how we feel other people are judging us and what people don't realize. So if there's parents listening, kind of maybe, you know, perk your ears up for a minute. But, you know, those things, the gymnastics, the swimming, the wrestling for boys, you know, the different things, especially that are, you know, where we put weight limit pressures on ourselves, and right, physiques and, you know, lean, no fat, you know, and for women, that's difficult, right? Like our body fat content's a lot higher than men's. Anyway, it really creates a whole different relationship with our body. So I love that you wanted to keep your yoga practice in a space where it's connecting with your physical body on a different level, where it's that because this is how I've come to live myself, right? I'm so connected with my physical body that I actually will get exercise doing the things that I love around the house, right? Like if my core is engaged, I'm exercising.
Absolutely.
Right? And if I'm doing something in the kitchen, I can do some little push-ups, right? Get my heart rate up, like just feel connected. But I'm in my life, I'm living and it's real and it's, I don't know. But anyway, so you get what I'm saying is that.
Yeah, I'd like to jump in and just offer this because wonderful. I think body image is definitely a part of how we see ourselves in the world, how we manifest ourselves in the world, and how we show up in the world. And as a young girl, I never really thought about weight. When I say I was a gymnast and a cheerleader, I grew up in a super small town. And at that point, there was no competitive gymnastics. It was like, you just did things because you were excited to do them. And you were happy to go to lessons after school, right? So it wasn't the competitiveness that so many kids today, like from young ages, are kind of thrown into the trenches of high competition. Mm-hmm. I didn't really start competing until I was a junior in high school for cheerleading. That was the very first competition that I did. And in college, I actually started coaching competitive gymnastics. And during that time was when I really did see how traumatic body image could be for these young athletes. Mm-hmm. I had the joy of teaching ages 5 to 12, which was wonderful. But the competitive gymnasts, the elite gymnasts that were going to the Olympic trials also were training in the gym alongside these young girls. And the moment puberty hit and their bodies changed, their hips became wider, you could just see it on their faces and they had to weigh in before competitions. And it just created this whole self-loathing experience for many of these athletes. And that's when I really got a different perspective of how competition could be unhealthy for a young girl, a young woman, or any young athlete really at that high competitive phase.
Yeah. No, it was my life for a long time. but I was also gifted with body dysmorphia. And so, you know, it was just an added challenge, but it's something that I've, you know, stayed very in touch with and very in tune with as I raised 5 children. And you know, just knowing and watching and seeing the, you know, the difference in how they grew up, right? They're all grown adults at this point, right? But you know, they were all very different through their adolescence into young adulthood. And there's only one left in young adulthood. But watching them, but also watching their friends and just seeing, you know, that and then just really, you know, one, it really illuminated what happened for me, to me, whatever in my life, because there was a long period of time where I went and, you know, measuring my waistline and, you know, just all of these things. And I started training. I started training before I was 7 years old. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, even in elementary school, there was, you know, there were days that, you know, there were, you know, practices before and after school. And, you know, and different things. So by the time I hit junior high, I kind of like took a little bit of a respite. I just ran track, but, you know, so there was that, you know, highly competitive, but so a lot of it though, isn't driven by, so I want to make sure just really quick to highlight this. And then, you know, I have another question I wanted to ask you, but, it's not all driven by, you know, the competitive sport itself. A lot of it is, often driven by the child. Like for me, it was all driven by me. there was nobody put any expectations on me to win. Nobody put any, you know, there wasn't that. It all came from inside of me. And you know, so all of my pressures to perform and to exceed and excel and to be an overachiever, that was all inside of me. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's, you know, again, if parents, if you're listening, like, you know, knowing either how it was for you, and then look at the example you're leading by, because I also can look back and see where, ooh, because it was before my recovery journey, I can see where I did, you know, there's some potential damage with my daughters, right? Because the measuring tape was still part of my life. And so, you know, there's that. And it's something, you know, that, you know, of course in adulthood, you know, we talk about openly now and things like that, but, you know, we really want to, you know, but so, you know, other things that we can be doing with people too, especially our children, or just within our families, is coming together as a family unit and doing yoga and, you know, finding peace and, you know, meditating together and all of those things. That is such an amazing gift.
Yeah.
That we can learn how to do that isn't, you know, who does what best.
Right. And for me, yoga has always been something that I do for myself, not to myself. And when it comes to movement, there's such a difference, because most of our culture drives us to do things to achieve, to look a certain way, to be better, to push ourselves, to drive, to go. That's the nature of our culture. And we forget that we need to do things for ourselves, not just always to ourselves, to put those requirements. And many people are self-driven, and many people do have that high-performing drive that comes from inside, and then our culture feeds it. So it's super easy to get caught into that track of just going fast forward, full force ahead.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. So let's tie this into this, right? Because I really want to know how your work ties into the different emotions that we experience, like, you know, how, and I'm thinking of, because I'm always talking about, you know, people relying on external things, right? So I can see one of my clients challenging me, right? Like, you know, we talk about not needing to rely on the gym or. So if we're talking about, you know, a yoga or a meditation practice or, you know, even Pilates, you know, not as an escape or a way to mask, right? Because we as human beings operate in what I refer to as the external locus of control quite a bit. We rely on people, places, and things to bring us peace, joy, comfort, relief, value, validity, and worthiness, right? And usually speaking, though, it's, you know, I'm irritated, agitated, annoyed, frustrated, bothered, and I gotta, you know, go do something. So, I mean, how would you say, because I think it's appropriate, right? I think it's appropriate to lean into meditation. I do think we have to have those cognitive skills for when we can't sit in a meditation or we can't go do yoga. But I do think that with a good yoga meditation practice in as part of your life, it can reduce the amount of stress and anxiety, whatever, right? So, I mean, how do you see it tying to your the different emotions that we have to go through on a daily basis?
So I think the practices that I teach really can be that mirror of reflection and show us when an emotion comes up, what are we typically triggered to do when we feel disappointment, when we feel frustration, when we feel agitation. Those emotions come up and right away we're wanting to react. And those reactions happen without us even thinking about them. So the practices that I teach offer that time to really observe and practice the technique of observation, similar to a scientist. If you can learn to observe your experience without doing anything, over time you become less reactive. So you interrupt that chain of reactivity. And from there, more choices are available and new choices are available. If we never disrupt the pattern, it's really difficult to make new choices. We need that awareness first to understand, okay, I feel this and then this happened. So the practices that I teach guide people to go through those steps of observation and awareness and to become more familiar with what their patterns look like and feel like. And then you can do something new. You can choose something new.
I love that. I love that because it's 100% what we talk about, right? And so for those of you that are listening, right, this is what I'm talking about when I say, you know, when we want to be able to visualize and describe our emotions, we want to be able to see ourselves experience them, but also we want to be able to, you know, witness ourselves letting it go. And so sometimes people are like, well, how do I do that? You know? And so that's why I love working with you so much, because what you do allows those people that don't have that innate ability, you know, to, or the spiritual connection that some of us do, right? Like some people have just never really been introduced to that way of being connected with the self. You know, and so I just think it is just so great. Wow. That's awesome.
And I really think mindfulness comes when we have the ability to get quiet and be still, and not everybody has that ability. So the guided meditations really help train up that skill to be able to get quiet and be still for someone who's not used to doing it. And then yin yoga is the practice that really does challenge your ability to be with discomfort. And discomfort shows up in all ways and in all walks of life, right? We never quite know how it will show up, but typically I notice for myself that when I'm uncomfortable, certain things are always true. Like I get a little agitated, I get a little antsy, my brain starts looking for something that feels better or doesn't really want to pay attention. So I've learned these things through my yin yoga practice. And in yin yoga, we put the body in mild discomfort on purpose. So then we can start to kind of explore, okay, if I stay with this discomfort, what's next? Because there's always something on the other side of it. If we let that discomfort be a barrier and we just react and get triggered and do our normal thing, then we're just feeding that same pattern over and over again.
You are brilliant. You are brilliant. I mean, obviously there's a reason that, you know, we've been talking as much as we have been, and, you know, having the conversations that we've been having lately and doing the work, and I know that I'm a member, on your site, and, in all transparency, I haven't been as active the last couple of months. And I know that we all are in that season of life right now. So we're going to jump into that whole conversation, because this is where we are right now. We're in that season. It's the holiday season. And, you know, it's, you know, the days are shorter, the nights are longer, it's cold and nobody wants, you know, and we get, you know, we, I, for me, it's not getting out of a routine because I don't like to live a habitual lifestyle. So for me, I can say, you know, I haven't been, you know, doing some of my practices that I prefer, I enjoy. But I've been doing things in their place. But, you know, we get to a space, you know, a lot of times this final quarter of the year looks like, you know, I'm all out, but I do that all out with the intention of becoming all in January, or February or whatever it is we do, right? Dry January. So anybody that's getting ready to do dry January, we need to have a conversation. There's things I'd like to prepare you for. But, you know, so, you know, we're in that all in or all out season. So, you know, I think that, you know, if we were to wrap up with something useful for everybody is, you know, having those maybe top 3 to 5 bullet point pieces that you could give to people so that they could feel like they can have some sort of continuity so they can stay connected to their own practice. My practice ebbs and flows. Sometimes it looks like I'm in a gym. Sometimes it looks like I'm walking around my property. Sometimes it looks like whatever, right? Like, but I've been working at this for years, to know that I can, it doesn't have to always be the same thing, right? Like, yeah. I don't like it when people are married to like, I got to have my 6 a.m. spin class or my whole day falls apart. Like we have to have more flexibility, more resiliency in our life. And we need to be able to shift based on what our emotional, cognitive, physical, social, and spiritual needs are. So if you were to give people, that was my long-winded way of saying, you know, if you were to give people perhaps your top 3 to 5, you know, tips or tricks or whatever to help them get through this final year push and start out in a stance that's going to carry them through the whole year. That would be amazing.
Yeah. I'm not sure that I'll give 3 to 5. My top one that comes to mind listening to you is to choose what you want to say yes to. And that's for every season of life because we have seasons, and winter is a time to go inward, to withdraw, to nourish, to nurture from the inside out. So if you want to say yes to removing yourself from a ton of social engagements, choose to say yes to that. If you're someone who really enjoys and gets fed by company and companionship and parties and social gatherings, then choose to say yes to that. So be authentically you and choose to say yes to the things that bring you joy and be unapologetic about it. So if you don't want to be on everyone's social calendar, don't say yes to that. And then moving into the new year, create the things that you want to say yes to. And don't feel like you've stopped living your life for the month of December and you're going to begin again in January. Start creating your vision now and make sure that you're saying yes to the things that are leading you in that direction even now. And if that means that you're getting quiet to rest and restore and spend time with family or to enjoy the company of others and travel and be with friends and, you know, go to gatherings, then do that to support your journey. But there really is not a bullet point list that works for every single person. The most value that you can spend your time this time of year in is figuring out what you want to say yes to and making that choice 100%.
I love it. I love it. I don't even have anything else to put in there. Perfectly said. I think I will leave you all with that, right? Give yourself the permission to say yes, even when you're saying no, right? Like say yes to saying no. You can decline a party. I love all of that, right? You can have one, you can not have one. it's your life too. It gets to look, feel, be however you want it to.
Yes. And especially for business owners, you know, this time of year, business owners put so much pressure on themselves to hit their year-end goal or to do something big or to start the new year with something big. But maybe this is a good opportunity to reflect on your celebrations and successes of the year, and then to choose how you want to finish out the month for yourself, for your own well-being and joy and happiness. And maybe that includes some work. Maybe that includes building your projections for the new year. But pour your heart into the things that are going to fill you up and create a journey and a vision moving forward, rather than just trying to check off like every last thing on your list before the year ends.
Everybody, thank you so much for being here. I hope that, I mean, I know that my cup is overflowing and overfilled. But then again, it always is when I get to spend time with Roberta, and I get to spend time with Roberta quite often. All of her contact information is going to be either in the show notes, depending upon where you're watching, right? Show notes or on in the comments below. I highly recommend that you, at the very least, visit her page. Give it some serious consideration and contemplation, because the level of personal connection you can find with yourself, the level of emotional just healing in general. I won't even put a disclaimer in there of something specific, you know, is tremendous. And I couldn't recommend Roberta any more than just, you know, being here saying, here she is. Right.
Thank you, Trisha.
Yes, absolutely. And our recovery journeys are very unique in and of, and because I am going to spend a moment here to speak to, you know, those of you out there that are on a journey, in a journey, haven't started your journey yet, don't know where to start your journey. Like, we are all here to guide you, and it gets to look the way you need it to look, feel the way you need it to feel. But if you're tired of feeling held hostage by, you know, the all in, all out, the, you know, the chronic dieting or the consistent need to, you know, be on some weight loss routine, or, you know, you're tired of the overindulgence on food, alcohol, whatever it is that you're, you know, doing, and you wish that you had a little more control or discipline, or just wish that it looked a different way. Like, you don't have to think just because you're, you know, it's alcohol or it's food that, you know, you need to have some big treatment program. You maybe need it. You maybe don't. We don't know yet. You don't know yet because you're not a professional. I'm happy to help you with that, to help you determine what level of care would actually suit you the best. I'm also happy to help you determine what kind of a path would suit you best. Society would have us think we have to look at our insurance company and see where it's approved and all of these things, but nobody's ever really thinking about matching the program to, or the person to, a program that's going to speak their language, that's going to actually meet them where they are, that's actually going to deliver the outcome that they're hoping to attain. And so you can't just, you know, go to the treatment facility down the street and think it's going to automatically, you know, be a solution. So everybody's journey is unique and special to them. It gets to look, feel, be however you want it to. So make it the way that you need it to be and quit looking at what everybody else is doing. You get to create your own path. The results are much better. Anyway, thank you all so much for being here. Please look up Roberta, connect with her. I know you will not be disappointed. And we will see you. Thank you. We'll see you really soon. Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Please make sure and come back every week. We will have a new guest who will sit down and have a deep, real conversation with me about informative, helpful tools and tactics, as well as a guided approach to recovery. you will absolutely walk away with insight and tools that you can use in your day-to-day life. We also have a very special Mastering the Drop episode that comes out once a month, where we have a special guest who shares their recovery journey and what it looks like now. So make sure you're paying attention to the episodes. In fact, go in and subscribe. I'd also like to invite you to go over to www.turningleavesrecovery.com and subscribe to our newsletter so that you can stay up to date with free tools as well as specials. But most of all, make sure to grab a conversation with me. It's completely safe, and it's the best way for me to help point you in the right direction. Have a great day.